This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good to see you guys on this morning. Hey, as you're getting ready, a couple of things. One, I want to welcome you. Make sure everybody online is feeling welcome, everybody in the room. It is an unusual day today. It is Super Bowl Sunday, so I hope that you're ready for that if you even care. How many guys are actually going to watch the game today? Okay, about half. Okay, the rest of you are just going to sleep. Okay, so not a big thing for some. Other people are really excited about that. Also, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. You guys all ready for that? Okay, you guys knew, like everybody knew that tomorrow's Valentine's Day, I hope, so you're prepared for that. And then we live in North Carolina, and I heard that any moment now in the next hour or so, it could snow. So, it was 70 yesterday, it could snow today. So a lot of things going on, but we're glad that you're here and part of worship today. If you have your Bibles, Genesis 15, go ahead and turn there. Also, if you're on your phone, if you have a chance, go ahead and check in today, whether you're online. I think you can do that through Facebook. Just go up and check in. If you're in the room, we're going to do this through the end of February, just kind of figure out who we are as a church after COVID as we come out. So if you could check in as well, just use the QR code on the screen. You can also find the scriptures that we're using as well today. So go ahead and do that while we're getting ready. We're in the middle, I'm going to say the middle, maybe the first third of a series that we're calling Origin Stories. And we are looking at the book of Genesis and just going, okay, how did we get here? What is God doing? And where are we going? And who are we? And why does God love us so much? And why do we desire a relationship with him? And how can we have that relationship with him? So it all starts in Genesis and just flows through history. So we went back to the beginning, our origin stories, and we've been looking at that for a few weeks. Now as you're doing all that, I've given you a lot of things to think about. I want you to think about new things while you're doing that. New things, like we love new things. We love when a new restaurant moves into town, and we go there, and we tell everybody about it, and we go try it out. Is the food any good? We love new things like new clothes, right? When we get new clothes, we like that. We get to wear them, something different in our wardrobe. We sometimes love new jobs, right? We're excited about that first job or the second or the first day. We get to meet new people. What's this going to be about? So there's some nervousness maybe, little anxiety, but also excitement. First house, right? New house. Aren't you excited about that when you move into a house that's new and you're like, okay, this is cool. Try out all this new stuff and it's really a lot of fun. And so new things are fun, right? But what's the problem with new things? They become old things, right? And so initially you're all excited and this is great. Then after a while you go, okay, now I'm kind of used to this. I'm used to these clothes. They're not as bright and shiny or exciting as I was about it, or it was when I first got it. The house, what happens with the house? Something breaks down and you got to get it fixed. What happens with a new job? It becomes an old job, right? I've got a routine now. I'm kind of in this place. All new things become older things, and we get used to it. We kind of have to figure out there's a whole new level of engagement with the things that we had before that was brand new. Now it's not new, so we have to learn to engage it differently, different expectations. Same with marriage, right? When you're first married, everything is just great, and everything's moving forward, and then at some point, the things that used to be so cute are still really cute, right? But not as cute, or maybe going, that's kind of, I don't know about that, or the things that you really enjoy doing together, sometimes that changes, so even in that relationship, you got to figure out on Valentine's Day, like, are we going to do the same thing we always did, or are we going to do something new and different? Because it can get a little bit like we're doing the same thing. Well, how about your relationship with God? What about your relationship with God? Depending on what your age was and your experience was when you became a Christ follower, for those who are, you probably started off really excited. I mean, the big thing, your sins were forgiven and you understood that and you were clean and you were good again and the guilt and the shame is gone and you're just so excited and God is speaking to you and you're hearing him and you're so excited about his word, right? And it just feels like everywhere you go, there's something that God has done. You go, this is the greatest. And then time passes, and God doesn't change, but sometimes those time between experiences gets extended, and you get into the Word, and you're not hearing as often as you used to, and you're beginning to go, what happened? Did I change? Did God change? It's probably happened to all of us. Jesus talked about that, how sometimes the seed gets planted, it grows up, and then it starts to get choked out by things of the world, and so it kind of happens to all of us, and you've followed Jesus for a while, those who have, you get to a place where you go, I'm just not where I was at the beginning, but I want to be, and I want to know him more fully and more closely. And so we're going to talk about that today. and how does that work, and how do you get through life, and how do you grow closer to God through that? So Genesis chapter 15, as we get started on that, we're going to start in verse 1, but let me kind of give you the context. Abraham in chapter 12, right, the guy who's going to be our focus for several weeks, he gets called by God to go to a new place. Probably very excited, leave everything behind, go to a new place, explore the new place. Everybody he met was different, new language was different, culture was different. Probably very, very excited. I'm on a new journey with God. And then 10 years pass. And during those 10 years, he runs into a drought. Remember that? We talked about that. So here's a challenge to my following God. I don't know what this means. He goes down to Egypt, has this close call there with integrity and his wife Sarah and Pharaoh. He had to get through that. Comes back and Lot, his nephew, his flocks are growing. Abram's flocks are growing. And so there's some conflict there. You got to deal with that. And then what we are not going to read, but just know what's in between, is that Lot moves. An army comes and attacks. They take him prisoner, take him hostage. Abram has to get a little army together, 318 men. They go and rescue Lot, bring him back. On the way back, Abram meets this mysterious guy named Melchizedek. You may have heard of him. His name means king of righteousness, which is important. He's the king of Salem, so he's a priest king. Salem means peace, so he's the king of righteousness, king of peace. The writer of Hebrews says this guy is like a forerunner of Jesus. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. Melchizedek, but just know Abram meets him. And now we're caught up to chapter 15, verse 1, okay? So let's read that from there. Verse 1 says, after these things, so after the things I just told you, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. So 10 years have passed. Just kind of camped there. There's a couple of first things that happened there. One, the first time in Scripture, the phrase, the word of the Lord came. First time ever in Scripture. Now, God had spoken before that, but now here's something God wants us to remember, wanted Abram to remember. So the first time we hear the word of the Lord came, and God said, I want you to get this down, like even write it down, Abram. I want you to remember this. And the first thing he says is what? Fear not. First time in Scripture that's used. Number one, command, because I think that when we encounter the living God, there's something a little bit unsettling about that. Because he is so holy, he is so pure, he is so mighty, so powerful, it's so unusual, it upsets us. It excites us. It causes us to be anxious, like, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? And so he knows that. He says automatically, fear not. And he says this throughout Scripture, but it's the first time ever. Abram, don't be afraid. I'm about to tell you something new. We're going to get into this new part of a relationship. So don't be afraid, Abram. And then he says, I'm your shield. First time in Scripture there. It means I'm your protector. And maybe that's the only thing you need to hear today. God is saying that to us today. It's the word of the Lord. I'm your protector. Don't worry about the things you're dealing with. Don't worry about what's ahead. Don't worry about the conflicts you're going to face. Don't worry about the challenges. I'm your shield. And you need to hear today that as you get to know God fuller and fuller and deeper, he's going to say that to you. I'm your shield. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I've got you. I'm your shield. And your reward will be very great, Abram. I'm going to take care of you just like I promised. Your reward's going to get to know me, and I'm going to be working your life. So right off the bat, Abram's having this conversation with God. After 10 years, he gets to hear God, and God reassures him. And then the next verse tells us this. But Abram... Right? Okay, God, I got that. You're my protector. I'm being rewarded. But let me tell you something, God. But Abram said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said also, behold, you give me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. He's saying, look, God, it's been 10 years since you told me I'd have a child, and I don't see one. 10 years of waiting. God, I haven't seen anything happen. God, you have given me no offspring. God, it's your fault, right? God, you haven't fulfilled what you said you're going to do. And if you go back to Adam and Eve in the garden, remember what Adam said to God? It's the woman you gave me. Remember that? It's like, let's put the blame. God, I haven't seen it. And I wonder about Abram a little bit, right? 10 years, And he started off really, really well, and everything was new. And now after 10 years, and he's still waiting, I think he's saying, God, I just haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. What's going on? And I have a contingency plan. If you don't come through, God, Eliezer, he's going to get all my stuff. He's going to be my heir. And so I have this backup plan in case you don't come through. Have you ever done that with God? God, here's what I think you're going to do. This is what you said. But if you don't, I've got a backup plan just in case. And this is my backup plan. This is the way it's going to work. Eliezer is going to get my inheritance, but my son should be. But I haven't seen you come through. I wonder if you were Abram, if I was Abram, how long would we have lasted? A week? Sarah's not pregnant yet, God. What happened? A month? A year? 18 months? 2 years? At what point do you start questioning God? 10 years. 10 years, he's get to this point like, okay, God, you're my protector. You're my shield. You're going to reward me, but you haven't given me an heir. And here's the deal. I don't know how it is with you, but I will say in my life, I'm good with God until I hit a challenge. Anybody else like me? I'm good. Everything's going well. And then that new car breaks down and you go, oh, there's oil underneath it. What does that mean? That light goes off. What does that mean? The bathroom needs to be redone. God, what does that mean? The relationship's not quite where you hope to be. God, what does that mean? You ever been there before? I mean, if you're first following Jesus, everything's going well, but after a period of time, there will be challenges, right? And you begin to go, there's some little doubt in me. There's a little bit of doubt in me. You ever been there? I've been there. Abram was there, and he's the father of our faith. God, you've given me no offspring. I read this quote the other day. I really like it. It says this, if you can find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere, right? Isn't that true? If you can find a path where everything's just going great, it's probably not going anywhere, right? Because God brings these things, because what's he working on? Our faith. And that's so important. That's what this passage is all about. God is taking us through something to get us somewhere. And for Abram, it was 10 years of, God, where are you? Well, it continues, verse 4, God steps in again. He's still talking to him in this vision. And behold, the word of the Lord, second time, came to him. This man shall not be your heir. You don't need the backup plan. You never needed a backup plan. Eliezer was never going to be the guy. He's your servant. Your very own son shall be your heir. You've waited for 10 years. It's just not time yet. Just not time yet. And maybe that's what God's saying to you today. That thing you're praying for, thing you're waiting for, it's just not time yet, but it's coming. It's coming. Just wait. And then I love what God does. One of the most famous passages of all scripture, verse 5. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven. Look up, Abram, and number the stars if you are able to number them. If you can count them, let's give this a shot. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So let's do an object lesson for a second, Abram. Let's kind of talk about who I am, and let's talk about who you are for a second. You go outside. What can you do? Can you even count? Let's give it a shot. Let's start counting the stars. You go as far as you can go, and that's as far as you can go, and you can't go far enough. But I made all those. And you won't be able to count your offspring if you ever could, because not up to you, it's up to me. And one of the things I think God wants to do when you hit that level of doubt and that challenge and whatever it is that maybe kind of holds you back, I think he wants us to go outside at night, and maybe not in Winston, right? There's a lot of light pollution here. Go where you can see the stars. And God said, I did that. Now let's compare that to your problem. Let's compare that to your challenge for a second. I can do that, and I can do that, right? Now, Abram's living in an arid area. He can walk outside. There's no light pollution. There's no cities. He's living in a tent. If you've ever done this before, and you walk out at night and go, wow. There are parts of North Carolina where you can still see the Milky Way. You got to go to the mountains, though. And there's parts in the desert where you can still see the Milky Way, and you can go out there and you can see it. But you can't count all the stars. You can't even see them. Did you guys see the new Webb telescope? Have you guys seen this? It's shot up into space. It's a million miles away, much higher than Hubble, higher, farther, okay? It's much farther away, and they're just about to unlock the telescope. and show us the glory of God. And won't that be incredible? And they'll start trying to count the stars, and they're going to reveal things that God has been the only one that's ever seen it. And I think God's going to go, look at my glory. Look at what I can do. Look at who I am. And he says, Abram, you haven't had a child. It's been 10 years. It's okay. I'm going to do it. And Abram had a choice, right? And here is probably, I'm going to say this next verse is either the most important verse in Genesis or one of the tops. Because this verse we're about to look at goes all the way through the New Testament, and it has everything to do with who you are and your relationship with God and how you respond to God, how you live with God, how you're saved, how you live. And so let's look at this verse. 15:6. This is what everything about our relationship with God comes from. You'll see it repeated in the New Testament over and over and over again. And people will tell me the Old Testament's different than the New. The answer is yes and no. It is different because they don't have Jesus, but it's not different in the way that we relate to God. Look at verse 6. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he, God, counted to him, Abram, as righteousness. Let me read that again. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he, God, counted to him, Abram, as righteousness. First time in Scripture the word believed is ever used. In Hebrew, it's the word aman, okay, aman. And it means simply this. It means to take something like a stool. And the literal meaning of this word is to just do this, to lean all your weight on it. Literally, it means to put your weight on it. So when you sat on that chair, you believed that chair would hold you up. When I sat on the stool, I believed it would hold me up. What am I doing? I'm just resting. I'm not causing the chair to stand up. I didn't make the chair. I am simply sitting on the chair. I'm leaning my weight on it. Abram was not righteous because he was a good person. And people look at this and go, he's terrible. He lies. He's a schemer. He does all these things. Why is he in the scripture? And the answer is exactly for that reason. Look what God did. Abram trusted God. He believed in him. He put all of his weight on him at that moment, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was counted as being in right relationship with God. God said, you're good because you trusted me. We grow up and we live in this world that's all about, what am I supposed to do? My own righteousness, my own goodness. What am I supposed to do, God? How am I supposed to live? I'm not living good enough. I talked to a guy the other day, his Catholic background, and in the guilt he lives with. Because it's, I can't be good enough. And I said, exactly. You can't be good enough. We simply trust God. And that's what it's all about, Old and New Testament. Now, we want to live a good life. We want to be a righteous person because of faith. But it doesn't make it possible. I hope that we understand that. Jesus living in us changes us, and we trust him for that. But it's not up to us. It's up to him. And that's what this story is all about. It's up to God and not to us. He said, you just trust me. Trust in my word. Look at this in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. See how it translates into the New Testament. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. By leaning your whole weight on God and his promises. By leaning everything that you have on Jesus. And this is not your own doing. It's not your own righteousness. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one would boast. It's like, yeah, we're not good enough. I'm okay with that because God has taken care of me. I just lean on his righteousness, and it's given to me through Christ. Those of us in small groups, we're studying Galatians, right? And you're going to get to chapter 3. But look in chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Look what Paul does with this verse. It says, just as Abram believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. He just directly quotes it. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons, who are the children of Abraham. How are you a child of Abraham? Because you believe. Now, the Jews are by birth children of Abram, right? They're genetically part of his family. But you and I are part of his family if we put all our weight on God. I hope that makes sense. At that moment when Abram sees all the stars, he believed. I'm going to trust you, God. I can't make it happen. I can't cause it to happen. I just trust you to do it. And God said, okay, that's exactly what I was looking for. And that's what I want to see from everybody. Now, the thing is, faith is dynamic, right? It takes growth. It takes work. I want you to see what happens next. Next verse in Genesis chapter 15. I hope you're still there. And God said to him, Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Okay, I got that. This is who I am. But he said, Abram said to him, oh Lord, am I to know that I shall possess it? How shall I know? I just had faith in you, but how am I supposed to know this is going to happen? You ever done that with God? Okay, God, I trust you, but how will I know? How will I really know you're going to do this? How do I know you're going to take care of me? God, how do I know you're going to answer this request? God, how do I know anything? So Abram's good with faith, but he goes, how will I know? You ever done that with God? How will I know your will? How do I know what's next? How do I know what you're going to do? I just love Abram. He's so real. I have faith, but how will I know? I love the story in the New Testament where Jesus is dealing with his father that has a sick child, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, do you believe? And the man says, yes, I believe. Help my unbelief. Like, yeah, God, I believe. I'm sitting here on this stool, but I'm not quite all the way there. So I want to be all the way. I want all my weight on there. So I believe, but help my unbelief. So if you're there, you're not in a bad spot. All of us are there at some point. How will I know? So God did something which is, when you read this, it's like, what is he doing, right? So let's work through this. Next verse. So God said to Abram, bring me a heifer, a cow, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Let's do something together, right, Abram? We're going to do an object lesson. Go get some animals. And so he brought him, next verse, he brought him all these things, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. So he laid them out, butterflied them, laid them out on the ground. But he did not cut the birds in half. I assume he put one on one side and one on the other. And you go, what is God doing? What is this about? And do you guys know what this is about? Have you heard this before? I hope if you haven't, let me explain it. In their country, in their culture, what you did is if you're going to form an agreement with someone, you took animals and you cut them in two and you made a path. And both people walked through it. And they said, if I don't keep my bargain, may what happened to the animals happen to me. Like, if you're going to sign an agreement today, I mean, some of it's electronic, but where do you go? You go to the lawyer's office, right? You sign the papers. They didn't have a lawyer to go to, so they said, let's lay out these things, and let's walk through, and we're going to make an agreement. We're going to make a covenant together. And so Abram does that. And then a couple of unusual things happen. Next verse. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. It's like, the very beginning, they have a challenge. They have a conflict. But Abram's up for it. He drives them away. And then the next one talks about our life of faith. And the sun was going down. A deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. I have found, I don't know how you are, I've found that when I begin to get God's leading in a different direction, something's happening, something happens. Have you ever had this problem before? Like you're getting ready to move, you're just getting back into church, you're back into the Word, you're starting to trust God again, and something happens, and it's like spiritual warfare kind of stuff, and something bad happens, you begin to doubt, or you're given an opportunity, or where'd that come from, or thoughts come in. I mean, this is a spiritual darkness time. And it happens a lot when we're ready to take a step, and maybe discouragement comes, something happens. It's what's happening to Abram. He's about to enter this new phase of his relationship with God, and a deep darkness fell upon him. And he has a choice. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But God's there. I'm going to skip a little bit. Those who have your Bibles, you can follow along. But I'm just going to tell you that God begins to explain to Abram everything that's going to happen to his people. He says, you're going to have children. They're going to fill the land. One day, they're going to be taken into slavery. You're going to sit down to Egypt. They're going to be there for generation after generation. I'm going to bring them back. They're going to settle back in the land just as I promised you. Okay, just lays out the future for him. So this is what I'm going to do. And then God finishes this with the next passage. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. In the next verse, and on that day, God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. He says, look, you're going to get the land. And then God steps in, and he goes through as a smoking pot. And I wish I could see this. Don't you wish you could be there and the torch going through? And the flaming torch is, of course, the Spirit of God. He goes between these cut up carcasses, and he doesn't allow Abram to go through. It's just God. Only God goes through. And this is an amazing story. It's just like so unusual. It's like, how do we even relate to this? God goes through and he says, you don't have to, Abram. This promise isn't about you keeping your part. You're a human being. You're not going to keep your part. And you're going to die and go on. Your kids aren't all going to keep your part. But I'm going to keep my part. God went through, and only by God going through was the covenant sealed. Because God doesn't need us. He says, on my faithfulness, not your faithfulness. It's on my holiness, not your holiness. It's on my ability to keep my part, not your ability. I'm the only one that has to go through. And I hope you see echoes of the cross in that. Only Jesus had to die. Only Jesus could die on the cross. Only he could take away sins. Only Jesus could die and rise again. And God is saying, it's up to me to keep the promises. It's up to you to trust. It's up to you to have faith. It's up to you to put your full weight on it. So God went through, and he's the only one. And he says to us, this is how I want you to live. From now on, I want you to trust me that I will keep my promises, and it's up to me, and it's not up to you. And Abram believed. And that's what it's all about. You know, when we live in today's world, what is God looking for us? He's looking for us to simply say, I trust you, God. I trust your promises. In the Bible, there's over 7,000 promises. It's not a bad idea to go through and find them. Because at every time, it's like God saying, I will do this regardless of what you do many times. And I love that. I want to show you four quick promises of God. You'll know these, okay? You'll know these, but I want you to hear them and just understand this is what God will do, and you can trust him as he walks through the covenant, as he keeps his part of the covenant. He will do this for you. Here's four quick promises. Number one, that God is faithful. It's a promise. He is going to be faithful. He's going to fulfill what he said he's going to do. You can trust him. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. And the question, do you trust God to keep his promise? That's what he's looking for. I trust God. I have faith. I believe. Number two, do you believe that he has a plan for your life? And this is such a common verse, right? But do we take it and live it? Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe God has a plan? Are you looking for the plan? Are you willing to live that plan? And do you trust him for it? Are you putting your whole weight in that plan? Or do you have a contingency plan in case God doesn't come through? I mean, that's kind of where Abram was. And God said, Abram says, I trust your plan. Number three, what about the character of God? Do you trust his character? He is good and he does good things. Do you trust that about God? Psalm 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion in all he has made. Or do we look at God's plan and go, I'm not sure you really want good for me, God. Here, I just ran into this challenge. If you were really good, I wouldn't be here. And I think God's constantly saying, look for the good and know that good will come out of it because I'm compassionate towards you. Do I really trust God at this moment when the car breaks, when the relationship's not perfect, when the house is not what I expected? Do we really trust that God is good and he's going to work it out? Fourth promise, again, these are just real short, real quick. Do you believe, do you trust that he will meet all your needs? Is that something you believe, that he's going to actually take care of you when you have a need? Philippians 4:19, Paul wrote this, and it's such a blanket verse. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I love that verse because it says every need. All your needs are going to be taken care of by God, every single one of them. A lot of times we look at every need as a financial need. I think it's because of our culture, right? We go, God, I need your help in these finances. And God goes, well, maybe what you need is self-control. That's a need. Maybe what you need is contentment. That's a need. Maybe you need to feel my presence because you're lonely. That's a need. And God promises to take care of every one of your needs. I went through this fast, but what I want you to kind of do is look back over those four. Look for any of the promises of God and go, okay, God, I want to believe you in that area. Because maybe today you walked in with a challenge that's just a little too big and go, God, I need to know you're going to take care of my needs. Help me to really live that promise, to understand it. Maybe you came today and go, God, I'm not sure that you're good. And we hate to say that out loud, but you're looking at your circumstances and go, God, I need to know that you're good. I'm just going to put my weight on that. God, I need to know today that you're faithful, that you're going to come through. And so you put your weight on that. So those four promises are just kind of just show your life and say, okay, God, do I really trust you in that area? And then make a commitment today. Yeah, I'm going to put all my weight on that. I'm going to trust him. The brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus named James, he used that same verse from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and he quoted it. I love what he added to it. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abram believed God. He trusted God. He put his full weight on God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. God saw him in his faith, and he imputed righteousness into him. And I love the last part. He was called a friend of God. Isn't that great? Do you want to be a friend of God? How do you do that? You trust. I mean, think about your best friend. Who's your best friend in the whole world? Is it your spouse? Is it somebody in another country? You talk to them through the internet? Is it the person you grew up with? I mean, who is your best friend? And ask yourself what? Why are they your best friend? It's because you trust them, right? You trust them to tell them your deep, darkest secrets. You trust them to be there when you're hurting. You trust them at all times. That's what a friend is, isn't it? And God said, I want to be that for you because I was that for Abram. Do you need a really good friend today? There is no better friend than Jesus because he's the one you can trust. And he is always good. And he's always righteous, and he always wants your best, and he has a plan. And so today, maybe that's what we need to do is go, Jesus, I want to be your friend, and I need you to be my best friend. And the way I'm going to do that is just fully trust you today with everything. So let's go to the Lord and pray and just say, God, this is what I want for my life. I want you to be my best friend. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to put all my weight on you. I want to give you the challenges I face, and I want to face them with faith and not with doubt. And I want you to see me as someone who believed like Abram believed. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. And look at these accounts in scripture. They're there for a purpose. And you want to teach us how to live. You want to teach us how to relate to you and what you're looking for. And above all, it's faith. It's such a simple thing. It's a simple word. Not always easy to achieve. So I pray for increasing faith in all of us. For those who know you and who know your son, I pray you'll give us a deeper faith that rises above any challenge, any mountain that may be in our way, a faith that just allows us to see you move that mountain out of the way, a faith that trusts you when things get really dark like it did with Abram, and to trust you for better days and for light ahead. And I pray, Father, for those who are struggling right now with their faith, that they may rest in you and grow in a way that they see you. And I want to pray as well for those who don't know you, they don't know your son, and we know above everything else you just want them to believe. So I pray for them today that they will believe, they will put their trust in you, their full weight in you. And I pray you'll speak to their heart, Father. And perhaps today they just want to pray, Father God, I want Jesus in my life, and I want to know him. And I want to trust in him and all that he's already done because I need him to be my friend, the perfect friend. And I pray this in his name. Amen.